Hey, welcome back. Welcome back. What's happening?
Well, we are on the Fort Brox podcast these days.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're coming back, baby.
Yeah.
It's 2024, so we're going to be doing 20 episodes this year.
Are we?
Yeah, because it's our welcome back. We're going to be doing 20 episodes, yeah.
Okay.
It's cool. Mainly when we have something.
Check my schedule quick.
Yeah, please check your schedule. We kind of took a little bit of a hiatus, so for those who are listening, we appreciate your patience. We are in our new podcast studios.
What's up?
Visible Audio Studios in Century City, Los Angeles, California. Yeah. Beautiful.
Not New York.
Not New York yet.
Yet.
Yet. That's why it's studios, plural, because we have two other studio rooms.
Oh.
Not counting the Herb Albert room.
Yeah. That's like a solo, by yourself room.
Well, it's a backdrop room, too. Also shoot headshots and whatnot.
Yeah.
Does this sound like a commercial for Visible Audio Studios?
Maybe.
Kind of does. .com? Yeah, a little bit.
Plural.
Plural. Yeah, Visible Audio Studios, meaning more than one.
Oh, shit, that's hot.
You want me to conjugate that one for you, Brandon?
Yeah.
Do you know what conjugate means?
Yes.
Do you know even where I got that line of dialogue?
Wait, what are you talking about?
From Back to the Beach.
Back to the Future?
Anyways, do you want to talk? Well, first, how about this?
Oh, there's a new Back to the Future coming out.
Well, one thing at a time, please.
Okay.
Let's start with some disclosures.
Yeah.
We are not financial advisors, wealth managers, lawyers, brokers, or CPAs. Nothing in this podcast should be construed as investment advice. Please do your own due diligence.
Yeah.
Damn, that came right off the tongue. It sounded like autopilot, right?
Yeah, you've probably done that a few times.
Just a few.
Yeah.
On the daily, too. Not even in a podcast. I have to say it in meetings.
Well, Back to the Future.
No, let's start with a Super Bowl.
Oh.
Actually, let's just tell the listeners, we're going to be doing 20 episodes, as we mentioned, during the year, and it's about curating our point of view and our experience within crypto, blockchain, and Future Web.
Yes.
I like calling it Future Web because it's we got Web 3 now.
Yep.
Then, you know, Jack Dorsey decided, let's just jump to Web 5.
Yeah.
But he might double down and just say, let's just do Web 10. So we don't know if there's Web 4, Web 6. So let's just call it Future Web.
Yeah.
And it's all encompassing of AI and LLMs and all those new fun acronyms, right?
Yeah, we should do Web 7s. And then it's a casino web. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. Only a little bit. But you're more the Vegas guy than I am.
I love Vegas.
For now. Well, we're both going to love Vegas here soon.
Love in Vegas.
Yeah, because of the F1.
I like the idea of Vegas.
But you actually like the action of Vegas along with the idea.
Yeah, it's awesome.
All right.
It's adult Disneyland.
It's funny you say Vegas because we are talking a little bit about crypto, too.
Yeah.
Which is basically like gambling these days.
Can be construed that way sometimes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, I figure we're back, baby.
Oh, my gosh. Did you just do that?
We just hit over 50.
Yeah. Well, we recorded this episode a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
But then everything moves so fast, by the time we were ready to put it out, we're like, oh, shit, we got to re-record this.
Yeah, I mean, it hit 45 at that time, and I was like, we're back. Let's go.
We were back then.
And then we just hit 52, I think. It just kissed 52.
Yeah.
What's up, dude?
It's pretty cool. So that segues perfectly into, let's talk a little bit about the Bitcoin ETF.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on the fact that there's an ETF of something that people could just go buy themselves?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I think it's great for people that want to add Bitcoin into their retirement fund. They want to use it as a, you know, tax-free up to $5,000 for their IRA, their Roth IRA. You can just put it into an ETF now instead of going in like, because before you can't. You can't be like, hey, I want to put all of my Bitcoin into any part of your retirement except for, hey, I'm just going to squirrel this away and hold on to it until it's $1 million a token. So,
All right. I like the positives that you're taking from it. The fact that it's basically making it easier for people to get involved with crypto investing.
Anything
sort of crypto.
Anything that makes it easier, I'm in, you know?
I understand the benefits of the adoption curve, right, because it'll make it more tangible for people to get involved. I mean, it's just Bitcoin right now, currently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's talk of an Ethereum ETF that's also they're trying to push through, which would be really interesting since there hasn't been any real regulation around anything outside of Bitcoin, even though there isn't enough even around that.
I'd say Ethereum's a security, though, in my opinion.
No, I know. Well, I know this. I know you do, and it's fine. But
I don't actually think so.
But the idea of the ETFs.
Yeah.
I will say this, and this is where my cause for concern is with crypto. Crypto, what I loved about it is that you could just buy it on your own. You didn't need an intermediary.
Yeah.
You don't need an intermediary to buy an ETF right now. I mean, to buy crypto.
Yeah.
So because of that, I honestly think that I'm cautiously optimistic that this is helping more of the adoption without having to sacrifice later of what might happen to the incumbents, such as banks, you know, your JP Morgans, your Blackstones, that type of group to do more CBDCs, more centralized options of ways to buy crypto, because
you imagine they already own a shit ton anyway.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
Yeah.
But here's the thing.
Anybody with real wealth usually has, like, their gold in their portfolio.
They're trying to almost recreate the same guardrails that have been put around the stock market with crypto. And that's one of the things I loved about crypto was there was no guardrails the way there was for the stock market. There wasn't gatekeepers.
Yeah.
And so I'm nervous trying to retroactively rein it in from the empowerment it gives any human, because
you could say that, like, there is a middleman in the way that we have it now, because already you have gatekeepers, like FTX was a gatekeeper because they
FTX.
Coinbase.
That's like the word.
Coinbase is a gatekeeper because you're buying it, like, directly from them, right?
Or through.
You're buying it through them?
I believe so.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I guess somebody else puts it up. Hey, I want to sell this much. Any exchange you're exchanging, you want X, they want to sell you X.
Yeah, they make take fees.
Basically, they're the middlemen.
Well, it depends on the narrative you're crafting, right?
Yeah, because they're facilitating the sale.
They're empowering, or they're a gatekeeper. It depends on which narrative you want to have on this.
Yeah.
But
so it's like if you go to a shop to buy gold, that gold is your ultimate outcome. You're not going out there mining for it. You know what I mean?
Well, you can.
Yeah, and you can go out and mine most coins that are dope.
So again, the open nature of what crypto offers, that's what I liked.
Yeah, yeah.
The idea of the ETFs, while we're definitely creating an ability for more people to adopt crypto and accept it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think there's a cost to be had. We just don't see what the bill is yet.
Okay.
So that's my concern.
Well, I mean, so, like, I'm just going to throw this out there. Say say your bank, you bank with Wells Fargo. They decide that they're going
to use Wells Fargo, too. It's like saying FTX, man. Fuck. Next thing you know, you're going to say Bank of America. Already rough enough. I got to say JP Morgan.
Sorry, Bank of America now has their own exchange, and they decide that they're going to be the middleman and sell you some Bitcoin if you want it to hold into your account that they...
They want to do a CBDC. They just want to say, go fuck yourself, Bitcoin. Let's just do a central bank digital currency.
Well, okay, but I'm just saying, like, just putting it out there. Okay, say they all got together, did a central bank digital currency, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's based off the U.S. $1 bill.
Oh, you think they're going to base it off the U.S. dollar?
Mm.
How optimistic of you.
I know. Yeah. What do you think they're going to base it off?
And you
gold?
Again. So, and you also are saying that they're all going to get together and agree upon this? So then the JP coin is just going to get thrown away?
Okay, I'm saying... Like, hypothetically.
I don't mean to shoot you in the foot. We're both on the same side.
I'm not getting shot in the foot here. This is my explanation to you.
Okay.
Like, why I don't think it's such a bad thing. Do you think?
I don't know if it's bad. That's my thing. We don't have enough information to know if it's bad or not.
Hoping it's not going to be bad.
I'm hoping that, again.
But you have a negative outlook as you're going into it.
I'm not buying an ETF. Yeah. I'm going to buy my crypto directly.
Yeah. You but, know? I mean, it provides a way that grandma can have some Bitcoin exposure. So
no, again, I'm like it all opens about up. It,
you know?
Yeah. No, it opens up the adoption cycle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm a big fan of. We're big fans of more adoption. That's the signal we always talk about. So when we're talking to card partners about crypto mining, we're talking to people in general about crypto, blockchain, or future web, it's about the adoption. That's the signal we focus on, especially in a bear market, because people are still putting money and time and labor behind these things that you have to focus on adoption. Because when you have big corporations dumping lots of money through into this, even though the market's saying that it's not worth as much as it was, you know, again, that's the signal we focus on. We're not financial advisors, wealth managers, lawyers, brokers, but
now my big signal is adoption.
Yeah.
And you saw it in the market as well. Like, that's why Bitcoin keeps going up, I believe, is because
of adoption.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed. But I'm just, I'm not going into it negative. It's just that I don't think we have all the information, unfortunately, like we always do.
Yeah.
That we don't see the repercussions of certain choices that are being made, but we're not able to really influence those choices either, which is also unfortunate. But it's also why I liked crypto and blockchain, because it was supposed to level the playing field.
Yeah.
All right.
But it didn't. So now we're here.
It didn't.
And then, I mean, all of the transactions were supposed to be, transparent yet also hidden, but you know what I mean? Some lady cracked that cryptography and is able to track you down based on where you bought it. So
all right, let's move on to this next topic, right?
The Super Bowl?
Actually, yeah. What do you want to say about this? What are you burning to say about the Super Bowl have anything to relate to this, or does it not at all?
Did you see that there were zero
crypto ads?
Crypto ads this year, but there was a bunch of AI ads. So I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, through these hype cycles.
It's at the beginning of the year, so you're always going to see, like, something new about, technology as you go forward. So, like, now it's, like,
this is the hype
Apple
cycle.
Vision Pro, AI.
Yeah.
Space.
Spatial computing.
Oh, spatial computing.
Yeah, see, they're just trying to create a whole new label so they don't have to pigeonhole themselves with, no, we're not that, we're this. No, we're this.
It's actually not as evil as AI, so, you know.
Oh, my God. Are we going to go down the evil AI path? Okay.
Oh, well, I mean, a lot of people think it's evil, and so I'm just parroting.
So this actually segues perfect for 2024. So AI became a buzz.
Yeah.
LLMs. And it's actually going to hold over, I think, into 2024.
Oh, yeah.
Most things usually, 2022 was all about Web3.
Did you see that OpenAI's new text-to-video, Sora?
Yes. I literally just saw it in one of the Slack groups that I'm in, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's okay.
So Zach just showed it to me, and I was like,
I love that you both saw it right as I saw it. It's pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
So having said that, OpenAI.
Yeah.
If we're going to talk about AI, which we should, because it is part of that future
Absolutely.
Website of things.
Welcome back.
Sam Altman's first interview with Trevor Noah on Trevor Noah's new podcast.
Yeah.
After he got back from
his
little
Tino
hiatus.
Or no?
Tino?
Yeah.
Did Minka Kelly call him that?
I don't know.
It makes me wonder now.
Okay.
But that's funny. I didn't even think about that. It's like the way you talk about Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, Huggy.
Huggy Jackman.
I bet he would like punch me in the face if I ever called him that.
No, you just have to do it the right way. You just can't be that creepy guy that runs up to him and be like, yo, Huggy. No, it's got to be something soft and smooth where we're all dining somewhere in Los Angeles and you just happen to be like, yo, Huggy, what's up?
No, I definitely saw him on set one time, but didn't call him Huggy because I didn't want to get fired.
Yeah, you probably would have been this, too. Yeah.
That probably would have been an okay to get punched in the face moment.
Yeah. But going back to Tino, Trevor Noah, and Sam Altman's first interview, I believe it was, after he came back to OpenAI, after the quick ouster that happened, right?
Yeah.
This has been chattered up a whole bunch.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know Sam Altman personally, and I don't have enough information to really come to a conclusion about the man, so all I have is the interviews that he's done with Lex Fridman, Guy Raz. The one he did with Guy Raz, his PR team should have worked with him a lot more before he did that interview, because Guy asked some really great questions, and I didn't necessarily find that there was enough rationale behind Sam Altman's responses. But even, I want it to be good. I want OpenAI to be good. There's a lot of things about it that they just don't have their shit together, it seems like. Mm-hmm. They're able to create cool things.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily know they're able to operate those cool things or manage those cool things the same way they're able to create them.
Why?
Well, it's funny you should ask.
Okay.
So because they're able to build some of the things that they're able to build, but they didn't have their shit together enough to manage the way that this CEO ouster situation had happened,
mm-hmm.
there's a cause for concern. There's a cause for concern about that, the way that whole thing went down. The thing of it is, and the thing I truly love about future web, blockchain, crypto, is it's permissionless.
Mm-hmm.
What they've been doing for the past decade, OpenAI, prior to them really hitting the accelerator of the critical mass, knowing what they are, has been permissionless. And that's awesome that they can just build it and then people can start using it. That was one of the greatest things about web, or web 2.0. And Chris Dixon talks about it in his new book, which we'll get to in a minute. But Sam Altman has become the poster child for OpenAI. And because of that, they're the ones that are kind of leading the discussion.
Yeah.
You have other companies like Cohere, Anthropic, Bard. There's so many others. And then there's even more that are going to be coming out.
Yeah.
At least in this capacity. Because there's been AI that's been developed for just as long, as OpenAI, or maybe even longer in some cases. But the way they went about it with the nonprofit structure, it's very business savvy. And I love that, because now there's a lot of people trying to use that same, I guess you'd say, strategy in deploying a company and an effort.
Yeah.
But again, it's very interesting. I don't think there's enough rationale. I don't know that we're going to see the benefit or consequences of the decision-making or the lack of diligence that's being done, or even those making those decisions until, a little bit of time from now. And that, it's a cause for concern. But I don't trust our government to make any real good regulation around it to help steward that ship either. So
I don't trust the government.
I know, right? You sound like that old guy. It's just that here's the thing. People who can build really cool tech are not necessarily the best stewards for it. And those who are in positions
to like tech.
Yeah, but those that are in positions to govern such things don't have enough of the information to make educated decisions in the best interest of that tech.
Okay.
So it's hard to get people who understand the full scope of it, right? Because it is. It's just a challenge. Yeah. How do you understand all facets of the decision-making process? OpenAI even put out a call to help with its governance and safety, right? They were doing these grants mm-hmm. at the time. I want to say it was October of last year when they decided on it. I haven't seen who they announced or how they went about it, because everything got so cannibalized by the story of him being ousted, that I haven't seen enough of what happened with that grant program regarding governance and safety. It seemed like a reactionary response to a lot of the criticisms they were having with ChatGPT at the time. So again, there's not enough follow-through or follow-up with a lot of the discussions that are happening around concerns, because the accountability factor gets cannibalized by our media cycle and our attention spans. Again, I hope for the best on this and cautiously optimistic of it all. You know, it's a phrase that I love to use, because, being in venture capital, it lends itself to wanting for it to succeed for short-term reasons.
Yeah.
But the longer outcome of this, that cliche of planting a tree, knowing you're not going to bask in its shade, these are the decisions that are happening now that we don't know is going to happen later. Again, ETFs, very similar situation. And a lot of people talk about it and try to relate it to what happened with the internet and whatever happened with each different technological evolution.
Yeah.
But they're not all the same.
I mean, if we want to write governance for this stuff, I say we just open up ChatGPT, write us out some like
you're gonna you want the prompt from ChatGPT like yeah. How can you govern your shit?
Yeah, like
oh, I'm sure they'll do a great job sourcing that.
Right?
So here's
I mean like
so if it is let's say it is aggregating all governance decision making from the past just say 30 years.
Yeah.
Do you think it's well equipped to make good decisions?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, maybe we should just like cut out like maybe the 80s, cut out the 90s.
So when was that moment of bliss? What was that year or decade?
Yeah, maybe was like I 2007, there? Right before the 2008 crash. That was pretty good. People it were felt making blissful. Money, dude.
Well, it's supposedly it's almost like E, right? You have this wonderfully sensational moment, then all of a sudden the crash.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know from experience, but I've heard.
Yeah.
Well, that's actually honest, but, you know,
yeah.
Being on video, I don't know that people would believe that what I just said was true. They're like, no, he dropped E.
Dropped E?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Entertainment Network.
Yeah, I was talking about the Entertainment Network. Yeah,
I thought you were saying you dropped it off of your streaming platforms.
Moving forward in 2024, right, we've talked a little bit about the Bitcoin ETF. In fact, there might be an Ethereum ETF.
Yeah.
And now we've talked a little about OpenAI because it's very topical.
Yeah.
They've been leading the charge. I guess we could talk a little bit about 2023 and the reckoning that happened with FTX.
The reckoning.
Ledger being hacked. I mean, it wasn't just FTX and Ledger. There were so many things that happened as a reckoning in crypto.
You had Gemini, a big Ledger hack.
The Winklevi again, you know, in the headlines somehow. I love the fact that I believe it was, who was it? Block One with their new Bullish, the people from EOS, Brendan Blummer's group, bought CoinDesk. And then you have CoinMarketCap being owned by Binance.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really cool to know that the companies that are in positions of power in the crypto space, blockchain space, are own also the buying the media outlets.
Yeah.
They're owning the information pipeline.
Well, I mean, Amazon owns, Washington Post?
Yeah, like, they own media. Yeah. I get it. It's, you know, skateboarding's done it. Look at Thrasher.
Yeah.
Thrasher has a heavy hand with Deluxe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are good strategies. What can I say? It's awesome to when you own your own media. And, you know, it's almost like the best way to shill shit, right?
Yeah, it makes it easy to get your stories published, I would say.
you don't have to pitch. You're like, this is the best story ever, let me tell you.
Hey, have you seen this new thing that we're releasing? Oh, my goodness. It's amazing.
Oh, I don't know if we're going to run that story. Well, you will if you want this job.
Yeah. It slices. It dices.
So, yeah. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. But, no, I get where you're going with that.
But 2023 had a huge reckoning for crypto because there does need to be regulation and guidelines, in my opinion. Again, I just don't know that we're all informed enough to make educated decisions.
Yeah.
And we've never been really good humans at governing ourselves in an agile fashion.
Yeah.
It's more like, you know, whoever screams the loudest wins.
Yeah, whoever screams loudest, and then we go with that for a little bit, and we're like, that's not really working out.
All right, get ready to pick up this name I'm about to drop.
Oh, my goodness.
So I got to visit with a lady, wonderful lady, Miss Catherine Hardwick, the director of Twilight.
Uh-huh.
And she said something that resonated with me.
She got Bitcoin.
No. No, this was a few years ago. We were working on some project stuff in the production space. She goes, the first lie they hear is the one they believe.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in reference to media.
Yeah.
And it was just such a poignant response because if you've done anything in the space of media or even consumed enough of it, it's pretty valid.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And so it takes time to hear what the truth is. But does that get buried? And where's that narrative?
Yeah.
This is, you know, we were never into politics, or at least I wasn't. Maybe you were.
Mm-hmm. I've always been into politics.
Okay, but I don't want to start talking about politics, but it does feel like crypto and blockchain and AI are increasingly become highly political.
Oh, for sure.
But at the end of the day,
you have an industry that makes billionaires, you're going to have some politics in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
So what you're saying is if Bored Apes never would have come out, nobody would have got rich, there just would have been those mysterious Ethereum, Bitcoin, and, you know, Dogecoin billionaires, but because of Bored Apes and OpenSea, because NFTs and everybody started making money, that's where regulation really stepped in.
Okay. Did you know that, I think I saw, okay, I'm not even going to say it if it's not true, though,
But yeah, please don't see the first lie they hear and the first uninformed response that's stated.
Okay. Well, it goes something like it's like more ETF or more NFTs were sold in this last period than in all of the height of NFTs.
Yeah. No, again, adoption is high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The market value is not indicative of that. But then again, now it's more like the stock market where perception is ruling the value because, and I still to this day, and you know, there's analysts that will say what they want to say about it, but at the end of the day, Facebook, before they were an IPO, was worth X amount, bringing in X amount of dollars. The next day after they went IPO, their stock price went down and their valuation went down.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, they made more money because 24 hours later, they had more liquidity. Because they made much more money through their revenue model streams. So it's not indicative of the reality, but the reality is the perception of the stock price became their new reality.
Mm.
Make sense?
Yeah.
It doesn't. That's my point, not point.
Maybe it doesn't.
It's very Abbott and Costello, right? Who's on first?
Yeah.
What? Who?
Who?
Have you seen that skit?
No.
Oh, never mind. That's like super old. It's even before my time, but it's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your grays are showing, dude.
Beautiful, aren't they? I'm trying to turn into the most interesting man in the world, you know, the Dos Equis guy, or maybe George Hamilton.
You're doing a decent job.
You were going to say good, but then you wrangled it in. You didn't want to give me any ego.
Yeah.
You were like, I'm just going to give you this much dopamine.
Well, I mean, because you keep dropping names, and I got to pick them up, sweeping up after you.
Well, don't you have a biodegradable bag? We're somewhere in L.A.
We got to get a Roomba.
A Roomba to pick up all the names? All
names you're dropping.
You're the one who was talking about you being Huggy Jackman.
Oh, that's true, huh?
Yeah.
It was an on-set sort of thing. It's not hard to, you know.
I do now.
Now, yeah.
Now I do. All right. Moving on. Let's talk a little bit about the book that Chris Dixon of Andreas and Horowitz came out.
Yeah, do not make up a cute, shortened version of his name. C. Dix. Don't do it.
I love what you did there, you know.
Yeah.
I have a feeling you've been thinking of that one. Like you were waiting to drop that.
Yep.
I feel like this wasn't even like 5 minutes ago. This was maybe like 5 weeks ago. You're like, we're going to talk about Chris Dixon. Oh, wait a minute. And it just came to you. This joke came to you, huh?
No,
was it on our Vesta board?
No. Nope, not yet.
That's pretty good, though. I'm sure he hasn't heard that before. Hmm?
Hopefully not.
But anyways, Mr. Dixon.
Yes.
Of Andreas and Horowitz fame. He is kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Andreas and Horowitz has been able to create a sort of tech celebrity around some of their bigger GPs.
Yeah.
He's been running the crypto side. Katie Hahn was with them before she broke out and did her own solo crypto thing, which.
And got into regulation?
No, that was prior to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She was part of that whole DOJ Silk Road thing. And there's plenty of media out there about Katie Hahn. She's done a really good job creating her brand.
Yeah.
But Chris Dixon, he wants to work on his brand too. So he came out with this book.
Yeah.
Read, Write, Own. So have you read it?
No. But you have.
I have. And I've been looking forward to it. I pre-ordered it.
Uh-huh.
Because any media that looks of value that has to do with crypto, blockchain, future web, I'm interested in. I've read Bitcoin in the Age of I forget the Age of Bitcoin Cryptocurrency. I'm butchering it, but we'll put it in our show notes, the name of the title. It was one of my first books that I read within the space because there wasn't many out.
Yeah.
And then there was NFTs Are a Scam by Bobby Hundreds, Bobby Kim. And Bobby Kim's really good at creating hype. I mean, he had that whole atom bomb drop, and then he was pulling it off OpenSea because they couldn't enforce the residuals of resales.
Oh, yeah.
And I loved him for it.
Yeah. I mean, that's still kind of the problem with it all.
Still? Yeah. It's going to be an ongoing problem for a while because even though the smart contracts are there, they're not smart enough to enforce certain things.
Yeah.
And then if it's meta-based, like if you're doing, you know, your metadata, that can be stripped out too. So there's workarounds to that. So yeah, there's a lot of solutions now. I mean, people always used to joke, especially in 2022, crypto's a solution in search of a problem. But now it's created problems that need solutions within itself.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's, you know, it manifested their ability to need. But anyways, getting back to Chris Dixon's Read, Write, Own. I thought it was awesome for people who don't know about crypto or blockchain, especially blockchain, because that's what he really leans into. He does a good job with the history. If you're not interested in the history of tech, you will find it, you potentially could find it boring, but it's awesome because it's so thorough.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is it, you know, going to be on Oprah's, you know, books? Probably not, because it doesn't have the same layman's, in my opinion, or the same kind of style to it that Bobby Hundreds can do with NFTs Are a Scam.
Yeah.
But Bobby's book doesn't necessarily give you the breadth of depth that Chris Dixon's book does. It's like I want those two to make out and create the baby that's really going to be the book that might really help it. I don't know if it'll become Atlas Shrugged or Dianetics, but I think if those two hook up, it could mm-hmm. do something cool. But the book was awesome because it did. It provided so many thought pieces. One of the best things, or one of the things that I love that he said, is he talks about blockchain and he's trying to compare it or trying to articulate it to people on the value of it. And people say, you know, can't you build a building with wood? And you can.
Yeah.
But then when steel came out, you can build buildings with steel, but they're stronger. There's more benefit to it, right?
Yeah.
That's how he articulates blockchain. And it's you could build the same things that you have currently, but blockchain is that version. It's the steel to the wood.
Yeah.
And when I heard that, it was really good. There's a few sound bites like that. And I'm sure if you go through Twitter, you'll see plenty of people kind of articulating similar thoughts. But that one really resonated with me. He said a few things, too, that, you know, I might have a difference of opinion. But he wrote a book, so it's harder to argue those because he, you know, he wrote the whole damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, I think it's a great read. Listen, I listen to it on Audible. People get pissed when I say I read, but then they're like, oh, so when do you read? I'm like, well, I listen to it while I'm running.
Yeah.
Then they're like, you're not reading. I'm like, well, you got a point.
Yeah.
So I'm listening to it.
Yeah.
On Audible. But do you have any questions about it? I mean, you're just sitting there letting me just bop, 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 bop.
About a book?
Yeah.
No.
About a book. It's an audio book. Does that change it?
No.
Do you not like listening to audiobooks?
I do.
Okay, that's I was going to say.
How I ingest most of my reading, because we live in Los Angeles. You do now as well.
Yeah.
Which means that we have a lot of time in our cars,
in
on
our
the
traffic.
Road, in the traffic.
In
so
the traffic.
I listen to a lot of, that's where I mainly consume most of my media is through podcasts, books. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've been riding the electric street bike. We don't need to go too far deep into that subject.
Yeah.
But it makes my trips quicker when I'm able to get there on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
So I don't get to listen to as much in that anymore. So I have to run more.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But
yeah,
I highly recommend Read, Write, Own
Read,
to anybody who wants to learn more about blockchain. It's
okay.
Really focused on blockchain because he has a lot of valid points in it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of thought-provoking just details in there, things to really get it going. Again, I have some contrast of opinions on certain things, but it doesn't matter. My contrast of opinion just doesn't matter in relation to that book because more people should read it than should not.
Like, what are you going to say that when he says, like, it's like building with steel. You can't refute that. You're like, okay.
I wouldn't want to. I like
bricks?
That analogy.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like that analogy.
No, I feel you on that.
He like one of the things he says, people say it's like an advanced spreadsheet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he says, but it's so much more. It's a supercomputer. Yeah, it is. But I mean, Airtable is also a better version of Google Sheets, but it's still a spreadsheet, just it has more power. Now, blockchain, I guess you'd say simplifying as just a simple spreadsheet.
Yeah.
You know, it's too oversimplification. But then you're just getting into semantics of which analogy is best.
Yeah.
Right? We're just trying to get people to adopt it. And I think his book will help with that. I think his book will be something that people cite and adopt as their own point of view because they don't have a point of view.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing because books usually do that. They help people crystallize their thoughts or at least arrive at opinions. Sometimes you could actually say that it – it doesn't work the way it's intended because if people read something that they like hearing enough,
yeah,
it becomes their opinion without any real thought to it,
yeah,
or any challenge to it, which
that makes sense.
This has its own issues, but whatever.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I think it'll help move the needle, or it should, right? He put some good stuff in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
I don't have a book that I can recommend right now.
Why not?
Well, because I just listen to mostly fantasy books.
What's a fantasy book you've listened to recently?
Deathly Hallows.
That's an old book.
Yeah.
It's a good book, though.
Yeah. I just listened to basically all of them back to back.
Yeah.
And then now I'm doing the Corman Strike series. I go back and forth on that.
All right.
Yeah. Helps me.
Well,
gives you something to think about. But if you want a book that you can't listen to, book on tape, uh-huh. you have to actually read.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking Fast, Thinking Slow by Daniel Kahneman.
It
really
is
a really good book.
There's no audio of it?
There's
got to be somebody who did something on YouTube.
Well, you can't really because it has like some pictures that you have to like digest mentally.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. All right. It's about thinking and like the process of thinking and like accessing your memory,
mm-hmm.
basically, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of good books like that.
Well, I mean, he did win a Nobel Prize in economics, so.
Oh, well, we're going to put him in the show notes.
Okay. But a really amazing book.
All right. I want to check it out now.
Yeah.
You seem pretty sold on this.
But you can't listen to it on book on tape.
Damn it, I don't know if I'm going to read it now. Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I've read more books in the past 5 years than I have my whole life.
Yeah.
Because I've listened to them.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you for all those people who take time out of their day, maybe get paid to do it, but to read an entire book and record it so I can listen to it. Here's to you. Thank you.
Well, they can do that now at visibleaudiostudios.com. They can record, you know, the audio for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We'll put that in the show notes too. Well, man, I mean, this is a good way, I think, to introduce our welcome back.
Welcome back.
Because it's been a little bit of a break, so we appreciate those who continue to listen and sharing it with others because, you know, if we're creating value here, please share it with others.
Yeah. Give it a share.
Give it a share.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You say, hey, man.
Hey, man.
I enjoyed doing this for you. So you take this and show somebody else.
All right. So I'm going to give some of the lead outs now, okay?
Okay.
So the music is by The Celebrators, who are no longer together.
Oh.
Yeah, our boy Brad McLean informed me, and this was right at the end of last year that The Celebrators broke up.
Okay.
But what's nice to know is we get to celebrate The Celebrators every time you listen to the beginning and end of the Fort Brock's podcast.
Fort Brock's!
Yeah, so other than that.
Here's to you, bud. The music.
Oh, I thought you were pointing at the property owner.
R.I.P.
Okay.
Music.
So everything will be included in our show notes of key things that we talked about. So please check those out. And again, we're going to be releasing 20 episodes per year. The next episode we drop, we're going to have an actual schedule of when those episodes will be coming out throughout the year so that we can give more consistency to our listeners. And we appreciate you. So thank you very much for listening.
Yeah. Thanks, man. And thanks, Zach.
Oh, Zach.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to include him, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a special man.
Thanks, Zach.
Thanks, Zach.
Do you want to come on and say thanks?
No? Okay. No. Yeah.